Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, a weekly podcast with original features, interviews, news, prize giveaways, and more. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe to Simply Scottish on iTunes. In the iTunes program or app, just search Simply Scottish and access previous and upcoming episodes for free. Our home on the web is www.simplyscottish.com. And we welcome your feedback. Email us with your questions or comments at podcast@simplyscottish.com. That's podcast@simplyscottish.com. On this episode of Simply Scottish, we look at entrepreneur and philanthropist Andrew Carnegie, who emigrated from Scotland with his family in 1848 and went from the poor son of a hand weaver to the world's richest man by 1901. Starting off the show, as we always do with music, here's Blair Douglas with The Landlord's Walk.
Sky, Sky, Fiat Yarrow on Tunes,
You're listening to Simply Scottish. On this episode, part of an ongoing series highlighting the lives of famous Scots and their impact on the world, we discuss Andrew Carnegie. Carnegie was born to parents William and Margaret in Dunfermline, Scotland, on November 25, 1835. Although he didn't start school officially until age 8, young Andrew learned about the writings of Robert Burns and historical heroes like Robert the Bruce, William Wallace, and Rob Roy through his uncle George. His father was a hand loom weaver whose business had suffered with the advent of textile factories. Andrew's mother Margaret had family in Pittsburgh, and it wasn't long before the family decided to go to America to seek a better life. In Allegheny, Pennsylvania, Andrew's first job was as a bobbin boy in a cotton mill. By chance, his family discovered a job opening at the O'Reilly Telegraph Company, and Andrew got the job. Energetic and tenacious, Andrew dedicated himself wholeheartedly to the position, learning every street and businessman in Pittsburgh and getting caught up in the technology of communication. In 1853, Andrew became assistant to Thomas Scott of the Pennsylvania Railroad Company, rapidly advancing through the company and learning volumes about management, cost control, and investment. 7 years after moving to America, unable to fully recover from job losses and life changes, Carnegie's father died. His mother started questioning whether moving to America had been the right choice. Andrew consoled his mother, promising to earn enough money to ride through the streets in a fancy carriage one day and leave poverty behind for good. That same year, Carnegie was given the opportunity to make investments into companies connected with the Pennsylvania Railroad Company. He recognized and pursued technology he knew would be a part of the future. A few years later, he arranged a merger with George M. Pullman, inventor of a sleeping car for first-class train travel over long distances. In 1861, with the outbreak of Civil War, Carnegie was appointed superintendent of the military railways and Union telegraph lines, ensuring dependable telegraph service that assisted the Union in its eventual victory. War was a vivid illustration to Carnegie of how important railroads and telegraph lines were to American success. During the war, Carnegie invested in iron, steel, and oil, and after it turned exclusively to steelmaking. His business, the Carnegie Steel Company, revolutionized steel production in the U.S. by developing innovative technologies that made the manufacture of steel easier, faster, and more efficient. Carnegie sought to control every step of the process, raw materials, ships and railroads for transportation, and even the coal fields that fueled the steel furnaces. In 1867, Carnegie moved with his mother to New York, where he provided her with luxurious accommodations. He had been able to fulfill his promise to her, and then some. But there was more to come. Many Scots, like Andrew Carnegie, have come to America in search of opportunity. My own family immigrated to the US from Scotland years ago. And although time may pass and life moves on, your homeland remains a part of you. Here's the Proclaimers with a letter from America.
The other day.
This is Simply Scottish. We're discussing steel tycoon and philanthropist Andrew Carnegie, part of an ongoing series on Scottish men and women who have made an impact on the world. By 1868, Carnegie had built a hugely successful steel company and had a guaranteed annual income of $50,000. His thoughts began to turn to his wealth and his plans for it. Said Carnegie, "A man who dies rich dies disgraced." His giving began officially in 1881, when he gifted a brand new public library to his hometown Dunfermline in Scotland. He brought his 70-year-old mother on a visit to the United Kingdom, touring Scotland by coach and enjoying several receptions along the way. Carnegie married Louise Whitfield in 1887. First reluctant to have children due to the inherent dangers of childbirth, the couple had their only child, Margaret, in 1897. Carnegie bought Skibo Castle in Scotland to house his family. Upon purchase, the castle was in ruins. Carnegie had it renovated, and the family divided its time between Scotland and New York. In 1901, Carnegie made the decision to sell his business holdings to financier J.P. Morgan for $480 million, the largest personal commercial transaction in U.S. history. The buyout made Carnegie the world's richest man, but it wasn't long before he continued his work of giving to others. In the 19th century, free public libraries did not exist, only private and society libraries. A public library, thought Carnegie, was the perfect gift for a community, because it was one that would keep on giving. Carnegie knew how important learning and reading was in determining a person's life course. He himself had borrowed countless books during his formative years. Carnegie believed that everyone should have the opportunity to acquire the knowledge to improve themselves. Over 2,500 libraries were built through Carnegie's funding in the US, Britain, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, the Caribbean, Serbia, and Fiji. Carnegie also gave large pension funds to many of his former employees. He gave to educational institutions and churches. He funded technology and innovation. Eventually, Carnegie established foundations to continue giving his wealth away. The largest, the Carnegie Corporation, continues to give to worthwhile projects to this day. After World War I broke out, Carnegie and his family left Skibo Castle and moved to Massachusetts. Carnegie died of bronchial pneumonia in 1919. In a few minutes, some final thoughts and trivia on Andrew Carnegie. First, this is John Spillane with a song in the Gaelic called Seachtain.
Seacht Schachten trashe gemacht, mein Nobla Ermovasa. Schachten trashe gemacht, Dulten und Herr, auch noch Tavion Aliana. Schachten trashe gemacht. Schacht drö erida, et tjuna kan moroa, baumiruna la, la korona ha, os kjan fuilak, a kinail, omlain. Korda marish, korda muvera, ingre san arla. Egg brishin ishka queen. Me shacht the erida, a tune can morrowa, bound me yuna la, a corona, a skin fuila, a kinai, Schachten trash im Machta, Marona bla ermovasa. Schachten trash im Machta. Me schacht dreherirde, ektun kon moroa, baumiona la corona he, oskion fuila, a kinoi. Schacht drehe erirde, ek tunlikan moroa, baun riyuna la, a korona he, os kyan fwila, a kinail omlai.
You're listening to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish. On this episode, we've looked at the life of Andrew Carnegie. Here are a few interesting things you may not have known about the man. Carnegie had promised his mother he would never marry during her lifetime. His mother was a tough and determined lady who greatly valued hard work. Perhaps she felt a wife would derail her son's work. Perhaps he felt too busy for a family. And maybe the bond with his mother was too strong for another woman in his life. Whatever the reasons, Carnegie did not marry until after her death. Carnegie's career and wealth building were not without controversy. While he was visiting Scotland in 1892, a strike broke out at Holmstead, his main steel plant. Carnegie had left the company in the charge of Henry Frick, who made some fateful decisions that resulted in a bloody labour confrontation that killed 10 men and injured hundreds. Carnegie himself was appalled to find out what happened, and it severed his relationship with Frick and permanently marred his own reputation. The famous children's television show Sesame Street may never have been if not for Carnegie. His foundation launched Children's Television Workshop in 1968, which paved the way for such enduring characters as Big Bird, the Cookie Monster, Miss Piggy, and Kermit the Frog. We end with a quote from Carnegie. "If you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hopes." In upcoming episodes, we'll continue looking at the lives of Scottish men and women who have made an impact on the world. That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. At our website, simplyscottish.com, you can find this episode's music playlist, as well as links featured on the show. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Simply Scottish on iTunes. In the iTunes program or app, just search Simply Scottish and access previous and upcoming podcast episodes automatically. I'm Andrew McDermott. Tune in next time for more of all things Scottish on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.